Carrie Peck is in our studio. We'll talk more about this after 11:35. You've got questions or comments, 11:35 here on WGN. This is not the kind of law you practice, though, is it, my friend?
It is not, John. I practice law that affects all of us getting older. Elder law, trust and estates law, and all of the issues that relate to dying, death, and taxes. Not often a pretty picture, but it beats the alternative, as the saying goes. You know, we're all getting old.
Yeah. Is the majority of your business wills and estates, or is it more litigating those situations where there's a disagreement over the management of people's assets?
I think we do quite a bit of both. So the disagreements are, you know, very significant, and certainly the estate planning is also significant.
Somebody asked me the other day, what's the difference between, if you have power of attorney, is that right?
That is right.
And if you have power of attorney, there's two different branches of that, the medical and the financial?
Right.
And so should everybody designate, regardless of their wellness at a certain point, somebody to have power of attorney for them?
Precisely right, John. Over the age of 18 in Illinois, you should have a durable power of attorney for health care, which is management of medical, and a durable power of attorney for property, which is management of assets.
Maybe you're 33 years old, and you don't think you need this, but if you get in a car crash and you're mentally unable, you need a power of attorney.
Exactly right. If you're taken to the emergency room, you can't make decisions, you can't communicate decisions, the ER says you were in a horrible accident, the CTA bus hit your car, we need to amputate your leg, okay? Who's making that decision? If you have a power of attorney, the person you named is going to make that decision. And it's important to understand, you're naming that person while you're mentally competent. Because if you don't have these documents... Okay. In a medical scenario, we have a statute here, a law in Illinois, that allows the hospital to turn to your next of kin. During the pandemic, I fielded many, many calls on the weekends in which divorcing spouses wanted to make medical decisions for their divorcing spouse. A totally untenable, ridiculous scenario. Okay, in Illinois, we have what's called, it's a safety net law, the Healthcare Surrogate Act. If two people are married and they don't have a power of attorney and they're not, and one's in the emergency room, the husband or the wife, respectively, gets to make that decision. But if you're not married and you don't have children, who's going to make that decision? Well, it's really some shirt-tail cousin. Or it might be your parent, if they can locate it, or your parents are alive.
What if you're living together, you're common law couples, but you're not married?
Under the law, it's not good enough. That's why you need a power of attorney.
Okay, but then I have a question about, say you want you have power of attorney, and you want to make a decision for your elder parent that they might not agree with. But you say, but I've got power of attorney. So my question is, Who's in the driver's seat here, Carrie Peck? Answer that. Pick it up there then. So, in that scenario.
If an older adult, if your parent doesn't agree with, you know, your proposal, your decision, hypothetically, you want to put them in a nursing home, and the parent says, I'm not ready, I'm not going into a nursing home, I don't need to go into a nursing home, under the power of attorney document, unless that individual has been deemed unable to make decisions, and in general, that's by their attending physician, their decision is going to prevail over yours. You're an agent under a power of attorney, but it must be effective. You must have the power under the document to make those decisions.
As it should be, right? I mean, so wisely, you have somebody who has power of attorney, but that doesn't mean that you should trump the will of that person,
right?
As long as they're competent.
Right.
And competence will be determined by what?
Competence is determined by medical evidence. So here in Illinois, for example, if you don't have those documents and you're unable to make decisions on management of your assets, for example, or a non-emergency medical care, you're going to be forced into a courtroom to determine whether or not you need a guardian to make decisions for you. It's a probate proceeding. I call it a lifetime probate. So the question is, does John need a guardian to make decisions in the management of his assets? And ultimately, that's going to be determined by a judge relying on medical evidence, on an exam performed upon you, generally either by your attending physician
right.
or by a psychiatrist.
Okay, but I suspect a lot of people would pass those tests, would be deemed competent, and yet their family members would say, okay, but you're still making a decision that is not in your best interest. This is not a good decision, even though you have the ability to make what everybody else in the room knows is a bad decision. I want you to pick this scenario up here. PeckRitchie.com is the website. And Carrie and I were just talking on the air about power of attorney, what it means, what it doesn't mean. And if there's a disagreement over what's in the best interest of a loved one, even though you have power of attorney, if that elderly person is capable of making a decision, albeit a bad one, then they get to make a bad decision.
Regrettably, you know, judges tell us on a regular basis, competent people have the ability to make bad decisions. Mm-hmm. So, but significantly, in a power of attorney document, when someone is named agent, okay, I write the power of attorney, I name you, John, as my agent to make decisions for my medical and my property management, my asset management, when I'm not capable. That individual has a leg up in the courtroom should you feel it necessary to file a guardianship proceeding. Why? Because the document says, I nominate John, if it's me nominating you as my agent, I nominate John to be my guardian if I need one. Now, it's still a court proceeding, and we're still going to get a medical evaluation, and the older adult's going to have to be determined to be incapable of making decisions, and there's two standards even at that level. There's partially incapable, and there's totally incapable. So you could have a limited guardian for the management of assets, and maybe a limited guardian for the management of personal issues, healthcare, and the like.
Hmm. How big a horse do you need to drag somebody to that evaluation?
Well, I think it's a question of if the family sits down with the older adult and says, hey, you know, the kids think that it's time. Mom, you've made some bad decisions. Mom, you've fallen. You've broken your femur. You've broken your hip. Dad, you smacked your head on one of the counters. It's time that a doctor take a close look at you and figure out what's in your best interest. We love you. We want what is in your best interest for you. And, you know, when older adults, when people age, regrettably, their personalities change. And if they have some type of cognitive impairment, their personality changes even more.
So what's the best advice you give somebody about all of this, anticipating that down the road?
Well, anticipating is prevention. It's advanced planning. Get these documents done, because having the documents give you some traction in terms of making those decisions. Ultimately, if the older adult resists what the family believes to be in the best interest, then you're into a guardianship courtroom in the county where they live. And that's, you know, it's a probate proceeding, and it's quite a proceeding. But the older adult is going to have the rights of due process. They're going to have the right to a lawyer. They're going to have the right, potentially, even if they wish, to a jury trial, although it rarely happens.
Just one last note here from a couple of listeners. John, my brother-in-law died in February. His wife has Alzheimer's and cannot make any decision. My brother-in-law never updated his will regarding his wife's competency. So now we're trying to get through an incompetence by the court and getting a guardian. Boy, that just sounds like a nightmare.
Well, it's not an easy process, but that's precisely what we've been talking about. You know, plan. With the use of a revocable living trust, we can put a successor trustee in place to manage assets when someone's incompetent without a court.
Give me short answers to this. Does a couple need a will if the estate is under $2 million?
Yes.
I have a question for the attorney. My husband and I already have wills. Do we need a trust?
Depends on how your assets are owned and how much you have in the way of assets.
Really, the more you have, then the more likely it is you need a
yes,
trust?
Yes.
Okay. You know what, Carrie? We're going to talk next about the student loan forgiveness plan that the administration has just tipped. So I'm going to let you go today, and we'll take more calls next time.
Thanks for having me, John.
Is this the number 201 that I should give on the radio?
Please,
for you?
Please, that is the number.
312-201-0900, or click on peckritchie.com.